hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Spectacular to have you, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. This and every weekday morning from 6 until 10 a.m. right here on the Fan Upstate. Ordinarily, this is a spot where I'd say, hey, it's time for the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know in the world of sports. But here is the thing you need to know instead. What you need to know is that tonight, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits are at home. Home game number two. Puck hits ice at 7.05 p.m. this evening. And the man who will be standing on the top part of the bench, hanging on to, I don't know if he's a clipboard guy, a rolled up note sheet guy. We're going to find out here in just a second, because joining us on the program, making not his Rob Brown Show debut technically, but his Rob Brown Show debut as the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Kyle Mountain joins us on the show. Coach, what's happening?
Not much, not much. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm excited to be here. So thank you guys.
Yeah, man. Glad to have you. Let's start with the easy one. Game in the books with the suit and tie on as the HC, man. How's the vibe? How's the feel?
Yeah, it's been really good. Like, we, you know, I thought camp went really well. You know, we had a couple really good weeks. Guys came in ready and, you know, we got a lot of work done. So, finally getting to play was great. You know, we get to just see where we're at, and you know, it's just let's get started now. You know, it's been a long off season, so I think just for us being able to put all that work to, you know, into you know, performing and the guys getting to go play and do what they love to do. You know, it was fun, and the atmosphere was awesome. I mean, the building was great. It was an awesome night. So yeah, it was a good way to get started.
Let's talk a little bit about you, Coach, the philosophy you bring to coaching. We obviously flip over from Andrew Lord. Lordo was like a conundrum to me, because I saw away from the ice Lordo, who was loud and this fun-loving guy, center of attention. I watched him scream at a television once, "Tom Brady is a great God," and it was like one of my favorite memories. But then I'd be at games and I'd look over at the bench and Lordo had this face on like he was John Wick and somebody just took out his puppy. It was interesting to see the difference between on and off the ice Lordo. For those who maybe aren't super familiar with Kyle Mountain, the new head coach of the Swamp Rabbits, talk to me a little bit about your philosophy on the bench as well as working with the boys away from the ice.
Yeah, no, good question. Spot on with Lordo. I think we've all seen him yell at a TV at some point, so that's just part of his thing. But no, you know what? I believe, especially in really, you know, throughout the week and leading up to a game, really over preparing. So really doing what we have to get guys ready as far as video goes, as far as pre-scouts, you know, what we need to do, what we expect out of an opponent. And then when it comes to game night, you know, it's about letting the guys play. Like, certainly we're going to have, you know, our adjustments, and we're going to watch, you know, video in between periods. And we're just going to have like that ability to, you know, to do what we do, what we need to do in game. But I think ultimately, you know, the guys are prepared, or if we've done our job properly, the guys are ready to play. The guys know what to do. Yes, there will be moments where there's maybe outside voices here and there. You know, ultimately, like, you know, I think, with our personnel, especially with our roster, we got a lot of good players on this team. So it's about letting them play and less thinking for them, and they know what to do and just go execute.
I dig that. Talk to me a little bit, because one of the things I've worked with professional hockey teams at various levels throughout my career, and one of the things that I've always assumed has got to be one of the most difficult jobs for you guys in the head coaching position is how fluid your rosters are. You got guys getting called up, getting sent down. You may play on a Friday with a set of three or four different dudes that you have on the exact same roster on a Saturday. Obviously, we're early in the season. You haven't had to deal with a ton of that yet, but as Ontario and LA situation change and guys are moved around, how do you handle those roster changes, especially when they're in the middle of the season and everybody's still technically a playoff team?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it certainly keeps you on your toes. So we're just always trying to prepare contingency plans. And if this happens, we do this sort of thing. And so, you know, we're very fortunate with our affiliate in Ontario and LA. Like, you know, the communication is outstanding with them. And so when things happen, it's usually not a huge surprise for us. Like, it's obviously injuries happen. Those are never expected, or you know, we don't ever hope for those. But, you know, aside from that, I think they do an amazing job of just being really transparent with us about kind of what the plan is. And if that doesn't go, then here's plan B. And, you know, so that way we're able to prepare and do what we need to do. So, you know, it's a challenge, but like, you know, beyond that, you know, we're huge on communication. So when we get new guys in, you know, it's all about like getting them settled, getting them comfortable, getting them up to speed on what they need to know. You know, and that way they can, again, like take some of the thinking out of it and just go play. You know, so we've got a pretty good system here, I think, as far as how we kind of get guys in and out of here. And, you know, it seemed to work so far.
And this is my own curiosity. Does that for like, are you, do you have to make yourself familiar with Ontario's roster in case a guy gets sent down? You know what they're capable of. Like, is this something where you, as an affiliate of the SOAR, as an affiliate of an Ontario and an LA, like you kind of got to know every guy in the franchise just in case they end up lacing them up in Greenville?
Yeah, we want to know exactly kind of what we're getting, what we're dealing with, you know, so that's as a player, that's as a personality as well, and just kind of how a guy is coached best, you know, and that went back to like, you know, early in the summer when you know, both us and Ontario were building rosters, contracts are going out, being signed, and so, you know, that whole process of just education and understanding what the rosters look like starts very early, so we have a pretty good idea of, you know, who's there, who we might get, who we might not get at a certain time. So, you know, I think ultimately it's about, like you said, it's just you kind of have to know. That way it's not, you know, who is this guy and what are we dealing with? You know, I think when guys step in this door, we've got a very good idea of where they're at, who they are as people, you know, how to communicate with them and, you know, how to ultimately, you know, help them develop as players. And so, you know, again, that's where the communication with Ontario comes in. They're great about that as far as just, you know, the GM and I, Rich Seely, we're on the phone just about every day, you know, talking about players and just talking about where each group is at and what we might get. And, you know, that helps a lot.
Talk to me a little bit about your on-ice philosophy, coach, a little bit about the type of team that you want to build in Greenville, the type of team that is your ideal team. Where do you focus? What are the things that Swamp Rabbit fans can expect to see out of a Kyle Mountain-led team?
Yeah, we, you know, we're identity based. Like that is at our core. You know, before there was day one of camp this year, you know, we didn't necessarily jump right into systems and tactics and plays and things like that. It was more about just getting our identity right. And so we want to be a team that's really hard to play against. We want to be a team that plays the game really fast. We want to play physical. You know, we want to play the game the right way. So, you know, we certainly have a focus of playing from the defensive zone out. So that's a priority for all of our players, not just D-men and goalies, but forwards as well. You know, and that philosophy of, you know, the better you defend, the more you get to go play offense. So that's how we want to build this. And, you know, it's going to be a fun group to work with. Like these guys compete really hard. That's a huge part of our identity is just bringing that compete level, you know, not only on game nights, but, you know, that's bread and practice every single day and how we train and how we prepare. So, you know, we're going to have a really competitive bunch. You know, we've got a good mix of, you know, some older guys that have been around for a bit and some, you know, younger guys that are really hungry and they want to win here. They want to move up. Like there's just a really good, you know, I think attitude throughout the room right now. And these guys are ready to get to work. So it's a fun group to coach for sure. And I think they'll be a really good team to watch, you know, on game night.
Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The bit set for home game numero dos this evening, 7:05. The puck hits the ice. And last time out, coach, last weekend, hard fought overtime game, disappointing that Orlando was able to find the winner. You still take a point out of it. In football, we talk about rebound games, we talk about letdown spots and how you are able to adapt and come back with a different kind of hunger. Now that you've got, unfortunately, L1 in the book in game one, what is the mentality as far as putting that one in the back seat, getting eyes to the next one? How do you kind of take the boys away from a disappointing result and make sure that they're bringing a little extra to the ice tonight?
Yeah, we had a really good week this week. You know, we were able to give the guys a day or so off. I think just that recovery alone is huge. Like, camp's long. Man, it's tough. And, you know, we had guys that were here for the duration of camp. We had, you know, a good number of guys that were out in California with Ontario for their camp and the Kings main camp. So it's weeks and weeks and weeks of training. And so able to step away for a day or so and get some rest. So I think that was number one. And then two, you know, it's just process week to week, which is very, you know, in sports and football and whatever, you know, different sport you want to talk about, you know, kind of that process mentality. But, you know, we play a lot of games. So like, are we going to get the result that we want every single time? No, but you know, I think we did, you know, what we needed to do preparing leading up to that game. And then it's just about getting back to work, you know, the following week. So I think what the game helps with is just getting an understanding of what areas you really need to hone in on, what areas you really need to focus on. So, you know, I think we had a really good week. The guys, you know, they're good. They're hungry still. And, you know, I think they're ready to go for this weekend.
We are talking with Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Coach, I have been with the team now for 3 years, both as the in-arena host and spent a year in the box DJing a little bit. You get to pick the playlist for warm-ups to get the boys hype. You get to pick three songs that play during those last few minutes of warm-ups before we get out and drop the puck for the first time. What's the go-to on the playlist?
That's hard, man. Whew. That's a tough one. I'll tell you what, our equipment manager, AJ Smith, Smitty, he's got a great pregame that he gets going in here. So usually the staff is in here before, you know, the players arrive and we're, you know, getting everything prepped. He gets the place going a lot. It's a good mix. We got some, you know, old school rock on there. We got some electronic on there. We got a little bit of everything, a little bit of country as, you know, Smitty, he's from Calgary. So he mixes in some of that country, but, if I had to pick one or two, that's a tough one. I'd probably go old school. I got to go like some classic rock, something like that. I think AC/DC always does the trick for everybody, getting them going. So something along those lines, I think, will work.
Can't go wrong with some AC/DC. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. One of the things, Coach, that I have enjoyed about all of the teams here in Greenville, I'm talking the drive on the diamond, I'm talking the triumph out on the pitch, I'm talking you guys on the ice, the local teams here, I think, do an exceptional job of making sure that they are actively involved in the community, not just promoting themselves, but really promoting the sports culture in Greenville, promoting the city itself, as well as the teams within it. How important is it to you as the guy in charge to make sure the team maintains that connection with the fans, not just on game night when they're packed into the well, but you know, on Wednesdays when there are festivals going on downtown, et cetera? How important is it to you to maintain that relationship with the upstate community?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, you know, for me personally, I think that has to happen. I mean, that's a must with our group. And then, you know, throughout the entire organization, like, we are very community oriented, and that's just how we operate. And I think, like, we've gotten amazing support from our fans, and we've gotten, you know, to see this place when it's really rocking, and, you know, we get incredible support. So we want to make sure that that's reciprocated, you know, and we want to recruit the right guys here. Like, we want to recruit guys that want to give back, that want to be part of the community, that, you know, are about more than just playing hockey. So I think we've done that, you know, throughout camp and now in, you know, early into the season. We've had multiple community events throughout each week, you know, whether it's full team or just a handful of guys going and representing our team, but then, you know, being part of the greater community. And you know what, guys love it here. Like, guys love Greenville, they love the city, they love where they play hockey. So I think giving back is, you know, it's something that guys are eager to do, you know. And I think it's you know, just something that when you're here, it's about more than just being a hockey player. It's a big family, you know, at least it feels that way. So I think guys are excited to do that, and that will continue to be a priority for us. I mean, I think that's really important for our team and our organization.
Coach, I grew up on the beaches of Florida. The only ice I was around as a young man were like in a margarita on the beach, but I have grown to love this game being around it. I used to work for the Pensacola Ice Flyers down there in the SPHL, now in the ECHL with the Bits. And hockey has won me over, but it took direct experience. It took me being there, being inside of an arena on the ice, watching this up close. Considering we are in the South, and hockey is a growing sport, I can tell you as somebody who's hands-on with the upstate sports culture, it is catching on. But if you got the opportunity to make an argument or put something on display to folks in the upstate that maybe aren't familiar with the game or weren't grown up around the game to know how beautiful this game can be, what would you want to do or say to folks in the upstate to get them to come out, to give the Swamp Rabbits a chance, to give this incredible sport a chance?
Yeah, you know what? It's just action, man. It's fast. It's physical. There's a ton of skill. I just think it has every element that you would want in something competitive. You know, and at our level and in our division especially, like, it is high end hockey. I mean, our division is stacked. Obviously, our division has won a Kelly Cup 3 years in a row. You know, and top to bottom, every night, it's just a battle. I mean, it's a gauntlet in this league, in this division, and so I think they're going to come see a really competitive, fast-paced, physical product, and it's a lot of fun too. I mean, when the place gets going, when the music is pumping, when you're screaming into the mic, I mean, it's tough to beat that. So, you know, I think ultimately, like, I've heard that so many times where somebody goes to a game in person and it's like, oh my God, like, I can't believe I've never done that, or I have to go back and see another game. You know, so I think that, you know, the combination of just what the product is on the ice and then just the overall experience within the building, it's tough to beat. So it's, you know, it's addictive, I think. And once you get a taste of it, I think people are going to want more.
All right, Coach, we got one or two more. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. I have been told, and I will tell you, it wasn't Lordo, but I have been told by a local coach of one of our local teams that I have been told to shut up at least once as a host with a microphone at a game, over under number of games before you're like, dude, somebody take that guy's microphone away. Be honest.
It was not me. I'm all for it. All right. I am all for it. I think the more the better. I think we love the noise. We love the you know, the crowd and the passion and everything like that. So you're good in my books, man. Keep it going. You know, I think the more the better.
I like it. I think that is one of the things for me, Coach, that I love about hockey is hockey fans are a different breed of cat, right? Like, they have a different level of involvement with the game. And I know we all love college football and we love the NFL and the fans at the local schools, the fans at our NFL franchises, they're all spectacular. But there is a special relationship between hockey fans and the game, between hockey fans and their teams, between hockey fans and their players. And I see that every time that you guys, not just at games, but when you guys come out in public and you're out at spare time interacting with the fans, or you're out at the Fall for Greenville Festival interacting with the fans, I see that relationship. What has that relationship been like for you since you were announced as the HC?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, like, the outreach, the support, the congratulations, the excitement, like, for me, it was, like, you expect a little bit of that, but it was, like, pretty overwhelming for me when that happened. You know, and again, like, hockey fans are typically just some very passionate people. You know, again, you're going and you want the action, you want the physicality, you want the competitiveness. So I think it's just a certain type of person that enjoys it. And so that energy, like, it'll bleed into everything, you know, outside of the rink as well. So for me, I mean, it was really cool. I mean, just the people around town, you know, some that I knew and some that I didn't know, you know, were all very, very supportive and really excited for me. And it's just motivating, you know, and it just makes you want to, you know, do even more and work even harder and just dig it, you know, dig in even deeper with what we're doing here and what we're building. And so, yeah, I feel really lucky. You know, I feel really fortunate, and it's just awesome to be able to represent this city in the way that I do now.
Last one, we'll cut you loose. Coach Kyle Mountain here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate tonight, 7:05, dicing it up with the cross-state rivals, the South Carolina Stingrays, for the first time. A lot of history between these two clubs. 60 seconds, break down what the fans are going to see on the ice tonight.
Yeah, they're a good team. I mean, having watched the pre-scout, you know, and they had a game, their first game last weekend, you know, they're going to be a fast, skilled team. So I think defensively, we've got to be super dialed in. You know, we've got to make sure that we're taking care of that side of the ice. We're bringing that physicality that we always want to. And I think it's going to be a fast game. Like, I think it's going to be very, you know, back and forth, a lot of action, a lot of speed. And so we're excited for that. That's the kind of hockey that we like to play. You know, it's always a battle with them. You know, they do a great job there, and it's a great organization, really well run. They've got a great staff over there and a really good roster. So it's going to be an awesome test for us. We're excited. Like I said, we've had a really good week this week. You know, the guys have been putting the work in, and so it'll be fun to see what we can do tonight.
All right, Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Hey, next weekend, Star Wars night. Can I get you in a Jedi costume on the bench? I think you'd go viral if we can make that happen.
I'm in.
I'm holding him to that. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, making his debut here on the Rob Brown Show. First time as the head coach, will not be the last time, as the Rabbits get their season underway. Home game number 2 this evening, 7:05, against the South Carolina Stingrays. Kyle, Great to have you, Big Dog. Appreciate you taking the time, dude. Let's go do it again soon.
Thank you. Really appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. When we come back, your water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know as we head off into the football weekend. That's next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It's the Rob Brown Show. Thanks again to head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Kyle Mountain, for joining us here on the show. I enjoyed that. That's a dude you can have a talk with. I have interviewed a lot of local head coaches through my years, and there are some that they can't really like turn the toggle switch between head coach and dude. Right? Like I don't know about you. I want to talk to the dude as well as the head coach, right? Like I want to talk roster build and philosophy and style of play. I also want to know what the hype up jams are in the locker room. What's the favorite post game meal you're knocking back, right? Like how do you talk to a player to get him out of a funk or into a rhythm? I appreciate Kyle being willing to flip that toggle switch back and forth from head coach in a suit and tie to dude in a QZ.
Wait till you hear some of the questions I have for Kane later.
Is that?
What? That's been.
Yeah. We're like a locked?
Yeah.
Yeah! I'm pretty excited about that. After the show today, the great one will be leading us through an interview with the mayor, with the big red machine, Kane. And you better believe we're running that on the show next week for sure. No, we're not. We're not.
I mean,
are you making that a Saturday exclusive?
Well, no. I mean, I think any audio I have, you can have at any time, just like aww. I'll take any audio from this show and you can't stop me. Yeah, exactly. because it's very date specific, I think we could probably pull questions, but it'll take some editing.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. All right, we'll talk to the Big Red Machine. We'll have that interview for you next week. Or maybe we make it an online exclusive.
Or you can tune into the Upstate Pulse tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and it will be on in probably the second segment of the show tomorrow.
Yeah, do that one. Do that one instead. That's the right way. I'm not even playing. I know I'm not playing it on the show next week. You want to listen to Kane, you listen on Saturday night. Or I will play it next week. I don't know. We'll see.
So we're going to see how well it goes and then go from there. But it's going to go well. We're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Of course it's going to go well. You put an icon, a legend in the room with Lonzo, you're getting gold. That's just how it's going
to
go.
Unfortunately, sometimes the ability to get interviews for date-specific things happen outside of this show.
Yeah, so I mean, it is what it is.
It's our first time having this problem, but it's not really a problem. Because there's a Saturday show that it can be played on. And the event is this Sunday, which is South Carolina Comic-Con Junior. You ain't got anything to go come to the convention center and have some fun nerding out with me.
Top 10 all-time walkout music, right? The OG Big Red Machine music? Top 10 all-time walkout. I will still bang that.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to asking some pyro questions.
All right, we are going to have to sprint through this, but ladies and gentlemen, as we had Kyle Mountain, we had to push this back a segment. Absolutely hashtag worth it, but we got to do this now. That, of course, the other brother of destruction, which we're absolutely talking about.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
One of the greatest tag teams of all time.
It's one of those things where you talk to one guy, you got to talk about the other guy.
I'm sure he knows about that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Yeah.
It's Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, top three sports stories you need to know. A very accelerated and abbreviated version of the cheat sheet. So let's dive right in with item number one. Slight betting favorites in game one. Slight betting favorites for the World Series. The LA Dodgers will host the New York Yankees in game number one of the World Series this evening. 8:08 first pitch. Gerrit Cole being sent out by the visitors. He'll be countered on the bump by the home team's Jack Flaherty. Now, why is this interesting? Aside from the fact that you got two aces who have been very, very good this season, Jack Flaherty has not been great in this postseason so far. In fact, the Dodgers put out a statement yesterday saying they are keeping an eye on Jack Flaherty, who may or may not be on a short leash because there has been a noticeable dip in the velo of the hitter for Jack Flaherty, but he is the number one option as SP numero uno this evening for the biggest game that the Dodgers have played so far this series, this season, game number one of this series. Gerrit Cole, on the flip side, has been good in this postseason. 16.1 innings pitched so far, has carried an ERA just a tick over three through this postseason so far. On the road splits this year, he's been solid. 47 innings of road work. He's given up 34 hits, 15 runs, 13 earned, and 6 dingers across those 47 innings pitched. Only a dozen walks against the National League. Numbers a little bit more limited. 20.2 innings pitched against National League teams. Gave up 24 hits, however, 17 runs, 15 earned, 9 dingers against NL teams, 8 walks. And obviously keep in mind that when a guy like Gerrit Cole is up against NL teams, these are teams that he may not be uber familiar with. Well, guess what? And this is shocking. I've done the research. The LA Dodgers are indeed a National League team.
I have a quick question. Is the hate still out there for the Yankees?
The hate will never go away for the New York Yankees.
Why? Because from what I understand, the hate was always they buy championships because of the players they bring in. Everyone buys players now.
There is no team that is more guilty of that this year than the LA Dodgers. The Dodgers are effectively a collected all-star team this year. As a matter of fact, and Deck and I talked about this earlier, I may in the last hour re-rack that interview we did with Cody Decker previewing the World Series this evening and into the weekend. The Dodgers and the Yankees. This World Series is interesting, though, because I don't think there are two more disliked teams in Major League Baseball than the Dodgers and Yankees.
So this is a transfer portal team.
No, because they it's not like they did anything that's outside of the norm for baseball. It's just that these are markets one and two. The largest television market and highest revenue sports market in America is New York City. And number two in a not distant second place is Los Angeles, California. These are the two most expensive rosters in Major League Baseball this year. And while I do think to some degree the concept that in baseball, because there is no salary cap, you can buy your way to a World Series is not evident, as is evidenced by the New York Mets last year, who had the most expensive roster in the history of baseball and could not even win their own division last year. It does work more often than it doesn't. And these two teams are the evidence of that. I know that there are a lot of people who do not want either one of these teams to win the World Series. But shockingly, I've done the research, one of them will. And game one will set the tone. That one tonight, again, 8:08 first pitch. Gerrit Cole on the bump for the away team, the New York Yankees. Jack Flaherty on the hill for the home team, the LA Dodgers. And we will be following that, I think, probably 9 o'clock. I may very well rerun that interview we did with former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker because he had some, I think, interesting insight on this World Series. Let's jump to item number two very quickly. 30-20, your final score in a game that made Al Michaels say on nationally broadcasted television last night, the Rams hand the Vikings their second loss consecutively, their second loss on the season. LA moves to 3-4. The Vikings fall to 5-2, but it wasn't without its controversy yesterday evening as late in the game, Sam Darnold has the Vikings with the football down 8. And a chance to drive the length of the field to get the 2-point conversion and tie the football game. An obvious, clear face mask in the end zone goes uncalled by the head official who was not but about 8 feet away. It was glaringly obvious to me from the other side of a room on a 32-inch television when I was not wearing my prescription glasses. To the point that even Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, two men who have bent over backwards to defend poor officials in Thursday night games this year repeatedly, even they said, yep, that's a bad call. or a bad no call. Once again, the LA Rams benefit from a bad no call at the end of a football contest. You may or may not have heard it's happened once before. I'm not going to bring it up, NFC Championship game, but it has indeed happened. 30-20, your final.
Thank you for the refresher. Was that like 10 years ago or something?
It doesn't matter how long ago it was. It is the most egregious crime in the history of sports. All right? It's just, it's still embarrassing. Roger Goodell. Item number three. On the hardwood last night, a quad box of games that opened up with the reigning, defending, undisputed NBA champions 122-102 win over the Washington Wizards. The Celtics moved to 2-0. The Wiz 0-1 to open the season. The Washington Wizards might be the only team I would say right now, I don't think if I was a fan that I would be a fan. This team's embarrassingly bad. Jordan Poole had 26 for the losing team. Jaylen Brown led all scorers last night with 27, 8-4 of a stat line. Luka Doncic was a couple of assists away from his first triple-double of the season. 28 points, 10 boards, and 8 dimes as the Mavs knock off Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs. 120-109, your final in a Texas Bowl. 102-87, the Oklahoma City Thunder down the Denver Nuggets, who did not look good in their 2024 debut. Nikola Jokic did record the triple-double, 16-12. And 13, but it was Chet Holmgren who led all scores with 25, 14, and 4 blocks on the night as Oklahoma City starts their campaign with an impressive win over Denver. And we wrapped it up last night with the only game that really was competitive throughout the evening, the Minnesota Timberwolves, a 117-115 win over the Sacramento Kings. Julius Randle made his presence known for the first time this season. The former New York Knickerbocker dropped 33 on the heads of the Sacramento Kings. He was MIA in game number one. I told people, hey, relax. Going to take him a minute. It's first game of the new team. You got to let my man find his rhythm, find his routine. And he did. 33 on the heads of the Sacramento Kings as the T-Wolves knock off the Kings 117-115. There's your water cooler cheat sheet. Top three sports stories that you need to know. We got to take a break when we come back here in just a minute from right now. We can talk some World Series. We can start talking a little college football from the weekend. All that and more coming up as the Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you as we roll through a Friday. Got to get down on Friday kind of morning. Texter said, I love 2024 Al Michaels. Zero given. I am a fan as well. In a weird way. Because on one hand, I think Al Michaels has pretty much checked out of trying to be a great play-by-play guy, right? Like, I don't think he's locked in on being a great play-by-play guy. I do love it for the same reason that I prefer the Manning cast to the traditional Monday Night Football broadcast, because for me, and I acknowledge that this is not true for everybody, and I'm about to be accused of being a snooty elitist by the great one, and I accept my fate, there's very little that announcers add to the game that I don't already know slash see. And certainly very little they're going to add when I'm watching the Manning cast and they're still showing the broadcast of the game, including the replays, right? I just prefer people watching the game and talking about the game, right? I prefer opinions to just being told what I'm already seeing.
This sounds like you're trying to recreate a sports bar experience at home. And I think I know that a good portion of people do not look at football the way you do.
Oh, for sure. And I acknowledge it's a me thing.
Distractions are distractions. And if you're paying too much attention to what the Mannings are talking about, you're not actually watching the game, which means the game is not as important to you as being entertained.
When I was growing up, there's a joke that's been running for a very long time in my family. And that joke, which is not a joke because it was our reality, was that if you were at my grandmother's house, my grandmother would regularly be heard over telling my cousins and I, I'm cold, put on a jacket. And it used to bother the crap out of us because we wouldn't be cold. We were up running around, playing, throwing a football, doing whatever we were doing. And if grandma got cold, everybody had to put on a jacket because grandma's cold. The reason I tell you that story is to point out that how it works for you and how it works for everybody else. And I may very well be in the minority. I don't need Joe Buck to say, they hand it to Kamara off the left-hand side, bounces off a tackle, picks up six, it'll be second. Yeah, I know that because of the whole having eyeballs thing. I don't need to hear Joe Buck tell me it's a six-yard run off the left tackle because I am watching the game.
So you instantly knew all that stuff from the age of like four. Boom.
Well, I'm not four.
Well, you didn't.
I am, for the record, not advocating, oh, we shouldn't have Monday Night Football standard broadcast. Okay. Not at all. I'm just saying my subjective opinion is I would rather hear dudes with good football brains tell me why versus what. In the list of journalistic W's, the old who, what, where, why, when, right? Whenever you write an article, within the first paragraph, you should answer who, what, where, why, and when. And then you can get into the details. I don't need Joe Buck to tell me the who or the what, because I can watch the game. Now, yeah, my little nephew, who's six and is just learning football, it's good for him to have Joe Buck saying, it's a sprint off the left-hand side. Here's Kamara, bounces off of a tackle, grabs 6 yards. It'll be second down for the Saints. Great. But for me, who knows that already?
That's unrealistic. Kamara isn't playing, right?
Yeah, he just signed his extension
yesterday.
I thought
he broke his hand. Maybe.
I think you are telling me something I am very unaware of.
I thought I saw that yesterday. I mean, it could have been an old story.
It must have been, because he signed his extension yesterday. He is limited in practice. Maybe, but I also assume that's because Kamara is closer to my age than he was his rookie year. No, you're right. He does have a broken hand, but he has played through it the last couple of weeks. He'll have to have Friday's practice to get back to full participation, otherwise risk heading to the weekend with a designation for Sunday's contest at the Chargers. Assuming he's able to suit up per usual, Kamara should be good for his usual 20.7 touches per game on the season. That according to RotoWire. So, yay.
Do you aim for the hand?
I mean,
do you try to punch that ball out?
There's a dude.
I don't know which hand it is. So I mean, is it his?
I mean, you always try to punch the ball out.
I know, but if he's right-handed and it's right-handed, you're definitely going for it.
I mean, I'm punching the ball out every time. Hey, young football players out there, listen to Uncle Rob. You punch the ball out, but you do not sacrifice the integrity of the tackle to do it. You punch the ball out if the extension of that punch is going to result in a position where if you miss the punch or if the punch doesn't work, your hand is around the player for the tackle. Do not punch when you are trying to chase down. Punch forward, because if you miss or the ball isn't dropped, now you're just the dude running with his hand in the air. You can't tackle like that. All right, this is importante.
Wow. That's the kind of wonderful content I would get from a play-by-play guy.
No, it's not. That's the kind of content you would get from a football guy talking football. Al Michael. Now, here's why I also say, if I am watching a standard broadcast of a game, I dramatically prefer a great color guy to a great play-by-play guy. This is why I was frustrated in, for instance, Tony Romo's first year, right? Because the guys would come up to the line and Romo would say, all right, they're lined up in a cover two shell. And if I was the offense, I would run this. And if that's the case, I want you to watch these two wide receivers watch the tandem double move routes they run on the outside. And what they're going to try to do is get the safety to bite up so that the X wide receiver can get over the top. And then that would happen. And then we got the news that the folks at NBC or CBS, whoever he was working for, I think CBS, the folks at CBS sent him a memo that was like, tone it down. We don't want you telling people what's going to happen before it happens, because that takes the anticipation out of it. And I disagreed vehemently. I liked when I had an NFL quarterback that understands the game telling me, here's what you need to see. I really prefer a great color guy for the same reason I prefer the Manning cast, because when Peyton Manning is saying, here's the play, here's why it did or did not work, here's what the defense did well to counter the offense, yada, 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 that does a lot more for me than having a play-by-play guy go, bounces off the tackle for 6 yards. Yeah, again, I know. But why was he only able to get six?
I don't know that it matters anymore, but I wonder what the ratings are for the Manning cast versus the regular broadcast.
That's a really good question. I would be interested too. And I will tell you, the regular broadcast likely beats the Manning cast. And I'll go one step further. One, I like the Manning cast a lot. I actually dislike I dislike when they have guests on, right? Like, I would rather 3.5 hours of just Peyton and Eli talking football, both because they know the game and they break it down in a way that you know, even knowers of ball are going to pick up a thing or two from Hall of Famer Peyton Manning and maybe Hall of Famer Eli Manning.
He's got 2 Super Bowls. He'll be in the Hall.
I think you're right. We'll see, but I think you're right. I can learn more from them than I can from Joe Buck, respectfully to Joe Buck. His job isn't to educate me. His job is to just tell me what happened. Then they, and I don't even fully dislike it, but like, they can bring on Bill Belichick, and Belly adds stuff to the program. Like, he gives another perspective of a guy who knows ball. They bring on Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is just entertaining as hell. Paul Rudd's fun. But it's not like he adds anything to the game, right? Like, he's just a fan talking about the game. That's fine. The only time I have issues are when they bring on guests who don't add anything to the game, and they're boring, right? When they bring on somebody that's like, yeah, I'm a big Eagles fan. Thanks for having me, Manning Brothers. It's wonderful to be here. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I was a big Eagles fan. I wore green all the time. Ah, what are we doing here? That ain't it. But Paul Rudd has been fantastic when he's been on. Kevin Hart has been fantastic when they've had him on. Feel how you want to feel. They had Barack Obama on last year. He was wildly entertaining. Like, they have had some guests that you're like, damn, this is really cool. I feel like I'm kind of getting to know this guy. And there are people that are enhancing the game versus traditional play-by-play. Now, again, I acknowledge that I am likely in the minority here. Likely in the minority. I think more people want to be told what is happening than why it is happening. But to me, and I'm this way in just about everything in my life, I always want to know why and how. I don't care what, I care about why and how. The internet guy came to my house the other day, last week, to fix my internet. We got fiber at the house, right? Which, the signals run through fiber optic cable. And I went outside, my boy Brandon showed up, hooked me up, appreciate you, big dog. I went outside, and I was just asking, I was peppering him with questions. Talk to me about, did you know, fiber optic cables, what's inside a fiber optic cable? I thought when they say cable, it's actually the cable. It's glass that makes fiber optic cable work. I always thought it was like crystallized glass. It's not. It's literally one long stretched out thing of glass. It's incredible how this stuff works. And the signal you get to your house is light. It's literally light. It travels at the speed of light. I was beyond blown away by this. I want to know the why, not the what. I want to know the how, not the what. And that, to me, is why I prefer to one Hall of Fame and one probably Hall of Fame quarterback giving me perspective. And it doesn't hurt that they're two brothers who openly and consistently talk to each other the whole time. That's fun.
I think that's a lot of the attraction for you.
It probably is. They talk to each other the way me and my little brother talk to each other. We just tell each other how crappy we are at life all the time. It's great. And then you get goofy stuff. Like, I don't know if you saw it last week. Peyton had Eli stand up and run through a quarterback drill, right, with the pads on the ground, back, forth. I'm going to tell you which way to go. And then when I say throw the ball, I need you to deliver quick. Did that, except Eli kicked one of the pads and Peyton got on him about it. And then when Eli was done and he, like, kind of fell down, Eli's dog ran into the scene. It was just causing havoc with the pads. And I'm like, this is fun. And by the way, the game's still on TV. They're still showing you the game. But you get all this, and Eli's saying, this is how an NFL quarterback would prepare for that type of play with this particular drill. I thought it was phenomenal.
So how many plays do we miss when we're watching the dog frolicking?
None. The game's on the TV. Okay. They don't take the game off the TV.
Okay. But, right? you're looking at that, and you're not looking at the game.
No, this is the thing. You're cold, I'm not putting on a jacket. I am capable of paying attention to multiple things on a TV screen. That is why the YouTube TV quad box is my favorite thing in the world right now. I got 4 games going. I can tell you what's happening in any given one.
By the way, just because you can multitask doesn't mean that a majority of people can.
I agree. That's why I said I'm probably in the minority of people who prefer that.
Outside of radio, I'm surrounded by people who can't do 2 things at once.
I agree entirely. This is why the Manning cast is probably better for me than, say, my mom. who's going to be dialed into the game to be able to tell you what's happening. I can flip my eyeballs over to the game, see the play, understand what happened while paying attention to what they're doing. I prefer the why and the when, not just the what. And I acknowledge I'm in the minority there. But that's also why I appreciate a good color guy, and that's why I will give him all the credit in the world. Kirk Herbstreit has been the correct addition with Al Michaels on this broadcast because Al doesn't care anymore about being a great play-by-play guy. He's just the dude who's enjoying his job and his life, and Herb Street's there to tell you what's going on, and I appreciate it.
Or phoning it in and getting a paycheck. It's depending on how
you don't think Al Michaels having a great time? I think he's having a ball.
I think he's really old, and he enjoys the money, and he might be imbibing the entire time.
No.
There are times near the end of broadcast, it's like, okay, those words are slurring. I don't think that's age.
I don't think Al Michaels is getting tanked in the booth. I think he's just an 80-year-old guy who's living his best life, getting paid a gazillion dollars to go to NFL games.
Just because you don't think it doesn't mean it's not
just
happening.
Because you do think it doesn't mean it is.
Exactly. I don't know why you're getting offended.
Because
you said he doesn't care. An old man who doesn't care, he's just in there just knocking a few back and talking football.
How would you feel if somebody said that about you?
About what?
If somebody was like, Lonzo slurred a word this morning, I think he was imbibing on the job. You'd be furious.
People have said that about me.
You'd be furious.
I don't understand your defense of this. I wasn't being critical. I'm just saying that that's what he sounds like.
I don't think so. I think he sounds like a guy who's making a gazillion dollars having a ball and getting away with saying on TV, just like I did, because allowing games to be officiated by the human element is the dumbest thing in sports. Now, the best thing in sports, Lonzo Sports Flash.
Not a reviewable penalty, by the way.
Needs to be.
Probably never. In the NBA, the Boston Celtics became the first team to reach 2-0 with a 122-102 win over the Wizards. Mavericks knocked off the Spurs 120-109. Thunder struck the Nuggets 102-87. And the Timberwolves dethroned the Kings 117-115. World Series begins tonight, 8 p.m. in Los Angeles as the Dodgers host the Yankees in Game 1. The Dodgers are betting favorites in both Game 1 and the series. Dodgers pitcher Jack Flaherty will get the start against Yankees ace Gerrit Cole. Game 2 of the series is tomorrow night. Now, tonight we got something going on. Tune in tonight at 7 as the Burns Rebels head to Spartanburg to take on the Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. It's us. It's the Fan. Upstate.